Front Seat Live podcast happily presents My Year of Healing the Hustle podcast, where I, Jessica Butts, psychotherapist, 2.5-time author, corporate trainer, and Myers-Briggs expert, share my raw, vulnerable, honest, and in-the-moment experiences of my journey to heal the hustle. I recently put my money where my mouth was, and I sold everything I owned and moved to Maui with 5 suitcases to explore this healing island. What has come up is a mountain of real life healing the hustle experiences I hope you can see yourself in, so you can also heal your hustle while still being unapologetically who you are. Let's get started. Welcome back, everybody. Welcome back. Thank you for all the love. Thank you for all the love about the 100th episode. It's pretty amazing to have 100. I mean, do I have that much to say? I guess I do. I really appreciate the comments and the reviews and the love. And we are just going to keep this party going. And we're going to get back on track today. We are going to really get back on track to the Healing the Hustle content. I had my birthday episodes, which turned into a 2-parter. And then I had my breakdown with my mom bullshit. And then I had my 100th episode. So we've had like a full month. The entire month of July was, I think, excellent, hopefully, content for you guys, but also a little off track on the Healing the Hustle stuff, although all of it is relevant. So today is, I hope, a great topic for you guys about how we got here. And one of the questions I hear from a lot of my clients around my private clients, as well as those that are coming to the Maui retreat, which is officially sold out. I'm thrilled. It's funny. I say it with a weird tone in my voice because I just had someone this morning, ask me if my last spot was full because she wanted it. So it is officially sold out. I cannot put any more people in it. I'm beyond excited to have the people here and have this amazing, amazing 5 days together. So just so you know, if you are one of those people who are interested in the next one, I am going to be booking May of 2023 and October of 2023. And the reason I'm doing those months are because it's absolutely gorgeous here in May and October. And it's much, 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 much cheaper. So you're welcome. It's very expensive January, February, March here, kind of even April, here being Maui. And I want this to be a more affordable, easy flow kind of experience. If you want to stay a couple days before and after, that was certainly the intention. I have a retreat member coming that got her flights for $130 each way, which is by far the cheapest I've ever heard. So anyway, May and October of 2023. So hang on for that. I need to get them booked and then I'll let you guys know for the next retreat. So I'm excited to jump into this. I'm a little tired today, so hopefully this isn't all over the place. And the reason I'm tired, and shout out to all you moms. My niece from Quebec, Montreal, Quebec, is here with my dad. We are absolutely having the time of our lives, like absolutely the most fun possible. But so they got here Friday. So just Friday, Saturday, Sunday, like go, 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 go. And then Monday, I worked all day and then went out for her birthday last night. It's her quinceañera, her 15th birthday. And Auntie Jessica is tired. So God bless all you moms. It's a whole nother experience. She's grade A+, the most delightful teenager for sure I've ever met. She's absolutely a beautiful, kind, wonderful soul. And that shit is still a lot of work. So God bless all of you parents. So I will hopefully stay on course here. And then I get to go out today on a beautiful boat cruise with my gorgeous family. So I know you're not feeling that bad for me. So let's jump in to some content about Why can't I just be happy? Why can't I just be happy? And there are four main sections of healing the hustle, and we may get through all of it today, or I might just cover a part of it because there's so much to dig into, right? You know, I've got a 220-page book almost done. And part one is about healing the hustle. Part one is how we got here. Like, why can't I just be happy? How did we get to this place? Part two is identifying the hole in your bucket. Like, why have you been hustling? Part three is repairing this hole in your bucket. Why what you have been doing isn't working. You've been trying to fill your bucket and it's not working. Part four is now filling your repaired bucket. How to fill your bucket in a brand new way. And I've been doing a bunch of, let me finish, I guess. And part five is healing the hustle, making lasting change. I've been putting content together for the retreat for basically 6 months, but it's really like starting to come together. And I'm so excited for the part four day, you know, our fourth day together of filling our repaired bucket and how to do it in a new way. And it's going to be a whole bunch of fun activities because one of it's making me tear up. And that slapping is, I touch my chest a lot because it's where my heart is. And so I excuse my slapping. That's what that is. Filling our repaired bucket is so much about having fun back in our lives. We just got away from it, right? I think this midlife stuff, we are so serious and we're paying mortgages and paying bills. And, you know, I was hanging out with a teenager. It's like, you forget, like life is meant to be fun. It's funny. There's, you know, three generations. It's my dad who's retired and his whole life is pretty awesome. He's got a, you know, wonderful old house and lives a very, a modest lifestyle. But, you know, he's splurging for sure on this trip. And so to watch him, you know, absolutely know how to have fun and he kayaks and, you know, lives in this 1920s home. And then, you know, being here with my niece from Quebec and seeing Maui through her eyes is just amazing. And, you know, shopping with her and buying completely different things and going on boat cruises and seeing things again and reminding ourselves like this is what we're supposed to be doing in life, having some fun. And I'm kind of that middle generation right now in between the two of them where I'm still paying bills and I'm still paying mortgages and, you know, things aren't paid off yet. And I'm also not a teenager where everybody pays for my life. Like I it's funny. I just was like, God, it'd be rad to be a kid. Like, you know, she's very respectful, but yeah, like, you're just, hey, can I, you know, is this okay to buy this? And it's like, oh yeah, someone buys you shit. I forgot what it's like to like have everything you do be paid for. Like, it's not a bad gig. And that is some of what we're going to be talking about in filling your repaired bucket is how to have fun again, how to have fun again. But that's not what today is about. I got a little off topic there, which I always do. Okay, so let's talk about what this section is about of how we got here. And it's kind of three main things I want you to think about. Number one is your journey. What is your journey? Like in the book, you know, I share my journey of getting here. And then the second is our new world, this crazy, unbelievable new world that we live in. And then number three is our obsessive need to do. Like we live in a culture, we live in a capitalist society, we live in the more you do, the better. I've talked about that in terms of being living on Maui. And watching so many people here exist. And I had a lot of judgment about it at first because it's just so foreign to me, but it's why I sold everything I own and I moved here is to do a little more of that, of to sit and read a book all day on a beach. And what does that in the shade? What does that feel like? How can we not always be going. This need to do is some sort of badge of honor. It's a bunch of bullshit, quite honestly, but we've all bought into it that we need more. We need to buy more. We're just spending our money like crazy people. We're not saving it. And so we always have to have, right, a better job. We've got to be making more money. We've always got to be hustling to do the next thing because we've literally created this life, but it's also innate in us. It's also a learned behavior. So I'm going to talk a little bit about next week, this nature and nurture piece, but let's back it up to your journey. So of course, these are things that I can do, you know, in person with you, in person via Zoom, as a private client or at the Maui retreats. But if you're just, you know, listening today, here's some things to write down and consider about your journey. What is your family of origin? How has your, I can tell already this is going to be a three-parter. I can tell already that I'm not going to get through all this. So let's spend some time on your journey. So your journey is all of your learned behaviors from, number one, your family of origin. I think some of you know, if you've been listening, that I just had a pretty unbelievably traumatic experience with my mom. And really, it's been interesting sitting here talking to my dad about it. And obviously, I'm seeing a therapist about it and talking to good friends and journaling and processing all of it and realizing that this is a lifelong trauma for me. And it has contributed to my need to hustle. Because I have never been good enough for my mom. And come to find out, same with my dad and same with all of the people in her life. No one's ever good enough for her standards. And so I've realized a lot of what I have been doing is to get approval, is to get validation. Man, this is serious and vulnerable to share on a podcast. Shit, I'm like having my own therapy session. But I do this so that you can look at your own life too and not judge it, right? There's nothing positive is going to come out of judgment as to why we are the way that we are. It's awareness. And then what are we going to do about it? So I'm sitting at 49 years old, you guys, and with a brand new awareness about how much this trauma has fucked me up my whole life. Like I'm looking back on, you know, is this my innate personality to be, you know, ASB president in high school? Or is this a way for me to get approval from my mom? If I'm good enough in this, if I show up enough in this way, if I don't do drugs and I, you know, I don't sleep around and I'm a good kid and I get good grades and everyone likes me and I'm a good girl, will I then get this approval and validation that I've been seeking from my mom? And so if I'm never going to get it from her, so there's two parts, right? Are you going to get it from your parents or are you seeking it elsewhere? I mean, look, it's fucking social media right now. This is insanity that we look for the likes and the comments and the validation. I've stopped watching TikTok because it's just so you're exploiting yourself. I don't know. There's something about it right now that is just, I'm having like a visceral reaction to, I just can't handle all of the, look at me. And I have to wonder like what a wound that is for people. So this is about you looking at your family of origin. Where did you not get approval from your primary caregivers? Were you not enough for your dad? When did you have to perform or walk on eggshells, or, you know, your dad was an explosive personality, or your mom, you know, never loved you the way you needed to be loved. And so you're seeking out approval in other places. My friends, this is a learned behavior that is part of your hustle, period. End of story. you know, I've got a lot of, I have so many great clients right now. Like, I'm obsessed with my clients. I love them. They're doing really good work. And I've got a couple of new people right now that are just having these huge ahas of like, our past is absolutely affecting us today, period. I can't, you know, there's this wonderful woman I have as a new client, and she's, you know, making, she's saying, you know, my behavior is unacceptable. I'm like, is it? Like, I don't think it's unacceptable. I'm very interested that you think it's unacceptable. I want you to not judge it. I don't want you to, you know, continue it, but there's a reason you're acting that way. And hers is absolutely from her family of origin. So my graduate degree, my therapy degree, is in family systems. And so I, quite honestly, I mean, there's two things that I believe in probably more than anything else foundationally as we evolve as humans. One is our personality type, obviously. And number two is our family of origin. How we are raised, our primary caregivers, the traumas that come along with that, our adult attachment, which I've talked about like ad nauseum, I feel like recently, around securely attached people, avoidantly attached people, and anxiously attached people. That affects us more than anything else. And the fact that we go into relationships now or anything we're doing, right? Like, what I have done, all of the things that I've done, if I had had a super loving, accepting mom, I'm going to be honest, maybe not. And so there's part of me that can be thankful of all of the abuse that I received from her over the years, because, you know, there's a nature piece and there's a nurture piece. Okay. So that's number one. There's so much. I mean, I could probably just do a whole episode about that, but I'm going to move on. We're only going to cover this first one about your journey. So number two is obviously your, it's not obvious. It's culture of origin. We call it foo and coo in graduate school. One is your family of origin. Two is your culture of origin. And I have an amazing client coming to the retreat, and she was asking, she's, you know, of an Indian culture, and, you know, asking, is this stuff, you know, relevant to me, the healing, the hustle? And I said, probably even more so, because each culture has its own roles and rules and norms associated with their culture, whether that be, you know, a Hawaiian culture, or certainly a WASPy culture. Even the white culture has different areas of the country, you know, WASPs and Catholics and, you know, pot smoking hippies, like my parents. Well, my dad, I shouldn't say, both my parents, my dad, who's amazing, by the way. Or, you know, do you have a Black culture? Do you have a Korean culture? Do you have an Indian culture? And how do those roles and rules and expectations and norms in that culture affecting how you hustle? I had a Korean woman as a client once, and it was quite eye-opening to me how the women are in that culture. I didn't know that they are more of the masculine in that culture, that it is just a norm for them to be the ones kind of doing everything. They are holding down the fort. They're making all the plans. They're putting all the kids through school. They're working. They're clean. I mean, they do everything. They do everything. And so I just, again, we could talk about a million different cultures today, but for you guys to think about, how does your culture of origin, where you are in the country, your religious upbringing, that is absolutely part of this. How are those things, roles, rules, norms, affecting your hustle? The shoulds, the expectations of how you are showing up in this world. So your family of origin, our shoulds, traumas, learned behaviors. So I'm going to talk a ton about that whenever I get there, because I realize this is going to take me forever to get through this, but I kind of knew it would, which also keeps this going, which is lovely, is that those traumas, that family of origin stuff is all, so much of shoulds of, you know, you should be an accountant. You should have a 9-to-5 job. I mean, I've got another client who is just this, just unbelievably woo, lovely, lighthearted, gorgeous soul who really just should be like living in the forest and doing all these things. And she's, her family is just, that's not a life. A life is a 401k. A life is health insurance. A life is owning a home. And she doesn't want to do any of that. That is not who she is. So there's all these like family of origin, culture of origin, things passed down from her family that makes her feel guilty and makes her feel like she's doing the wrong thing and that she can't make a living and on and on and on. So how are your family of origin, your culture of origin affecting your hustle? Next is, I've talked about attachment, I think ad nauseum at this point, but understanding how your family of origin has created your attachment. And that is avoidant. Like I'll elaborate here because I've talked about this so much, but I'll deepen it in this episode. Is that each parent could have given you a different attachment. So avoidant attachment is you're literally not there. So this could be, you know, a mom or a dad or whoever your primary caregivers are, or two dads, two moms, whatever, or your grandparents, aunts, uncles, whoever your primary caregivers are. And avoidant is they are either not there for you emotionally or physically. So this is a lot of latchkey kids, me included. Or again, emotionally, they can't handle you. So I'm a Cancer. I'm also definitely an empath and definitely a highly sensitive person, as well as a therapist. So like, I have all the feels. And I am way too much for my mom. I'm way too much. And so there is a, I can't handle you. Don't cry. You know, that's what you're taught. Don't cry. Shush. You're too much. Don't do that. Whatever. Stop crying. Whatever the thing is. And so, or they're just not there. So what that child learns is, and talk about hustle, what that child learns is, I can't rely on anyone. Therefore, I better do everything by myself. Talk about a hustle culture. You can't ask for help. You don't trust people to help you. You don't trust that they can hold you. You don't trust that they can be there for you. Because you learned growing up from your one or both of your primary caregivers, if you had to, that I got to do this shit on my own. I can't rely on anybody. So, I mean, imagine how that plays into your hustle. So the next is anxious. And, you know, I was talking to a friend and she was like, what about reactive? And I was like, basically reactive is anxious. I just think there's a lot of people out there who try, you know, they pick up somebody else's work and they try to make it their own, which I just find really fucking annoying. Like, you know, I don't ever pretend I created Myers-Briggs. Like, come on, people, just, you know, create your own point of view around it. But again, these people that come up with all these other ones, I'm like, basically reactive is anxious. And that's because we're reactive. So reactive is, or anxious is, you never know what you're going to get. So this is mental illness. This is addiction. This is a parent that maybe hasn't done their work, like they don't know who they are, right? And so what you get from them is, I love you, but, or smoke and mirrors, or you're never good enough, or I love you, but, again, I already said that one. It's just such a big one. I love you, but you're never good enough. You never know what you're going to walk into. This is very reactive, but it's also walking on eggshells. So this is an interesting one with parents that have anger issues or personality disorders or an addiction. So what ends up happening is you're kind of caretaking or keeping like a homeostasis in the home. So you don't want to be too loud. You don't want to be too much. So you end up suppressing yourself. You are nervous about, oh God, is mom going to be pissed? Or is my dad going to react? Is my dad going to hit me? Is my dad going to drop kick the dog? Is my, you know, so I better be really good. I better not cry. I better not rock the boat. I better be a good girl or a good boy or a good person. Like, we got to be real careful. And so what do we end up doing? We're suppressing ourselves because we never know what we're going to get. Or we are ourselves and we are punished inappropriately, right? So if you're crying, you shouldn't get beat for that. Or you shouldn't get, you shouldn't have to be grounded for a month. Whatever the horrible, unresponsive reaction is from your primary caregiver is not a reason for normal human behavior. And so there's a lot of parents, especially that generation, you know, I'm 49. So that generation of parents, they didn't do a lot of work. They didn't go to therapy. Do you know that our parents, so if you're about my age, our parents were the children that were raised in the Mad Men show. So I don't know if you've watched Mad Men, but that is some fucked up shit. Those people are a mess, right? They have done zero personal development. They are terrible parents. The dad is basically not around, not in my case at all. But those are the parents of our parents. Our grandparents are those Mad Men people. There was an episode, I've talked about this before. There was an episode I was watching and I paused it and I went, holy shit, those kids are my parents. Those kids witnessed horrific small T traumas, some big T traumas, but neglect, not caring. There's not a lot of love going on. There's no personal development, right? Those are our parents. And so again, we don't have to necessarily, it explains it. It doesn't justify it, right? There's not go to fucking therapy, right? I say that a lot. It's an explanation. It's not a justification for your shitty behavior, but those are our parents. And so we in one generation are into personal development and going to therapy and bettering ourselves and being much better parents and much better people. But again, talk about attachment, culture of origin, family of origin in one generation. Again, next week, I'll jump into our new world. In one generation, our entire world has changed. Our entire world has changed. How we raise children, how we show up in the world. I mean, couples, I mean, again, maybe I don't think anybody listening to my episode is not going to be going to, you know, marriage counseling at some point, but they weren't doing that. They're not doing that. That it's just, okay. I'm going off. Okay. Your journey, couple more, and then I'm going to let you go today. Family of origin, culture of origin, attachment, obviously your personality type. So I'm going to talk about this on week 3 of this is our need to do is totally partially your personality type. So each of us are born with your personality type. It is innate. It is not meant to change. So there is nature and nurture that is affecting how we are showing up in the world in terms of hustling. I am a J. A lot of you are listening are J's. We have a much higher propensity to do more, to be, again, part 3 is our need to do. J's are doers, P's are beers, period, end of story. And so while P's absolutely are still part of this because they have half of it. So if half is nature and half is nurture, they are still in this new world. They still have their family of origin. Those are learned behaviors. But the other half is this nature piece, being born into the world as a super, super strong, bossy, controlling, I gotta know what's going on. I'm gonna manage and control you. I'm gonna plan this. That is innately who we are. So I wanna be really clear that you guys get that part, that this is like 50-50. So you can still have this hustle as a P because there's so many learned behaviors, which I literally have a list of like 20 things that I'm going to talk to you about in episode 2 and 3 of this section of how we got here, about our new world and our need to do. But the other half is innateness. So if you're a J and you have some big T, little T traumas around your family of origin, your culture of origin, we're like doubly in this. We've got like, you know, basically two, we're kind of doubly screwed. We got double work to do. But you can also have like the best upbringing in the world and, you know, not have a lot of small T traumas or big T traumas and still personality type wise fall into this category. So your journey, I mean, adding in obviously your divorces, I mean, that's obviously part of family of origin, big T, little T traumas. So, you know, learning, there's so many, you were raped or you had some sort of, you know, abuse as a child. All of this, all of those traumas. And again, find a therapist, reach out to me. I hope I've got an opening for you when you're ready to do this. These are things that are very hard to open up and uncover, and the truth will set you free. Knowing where this hustle comes from, knowing where this anxious attachment comes from, knowing where the avoidant attachment comes from, that shit will set you free, my friends. I promise. I promise. I've got clients that are so, so, so nervous to like talk about it. They're like, will I ever stop crying? Can I ever like fully get over this? And I'm like, it's part of your backpack. It's part of you. It will come with you and it will guide you. It will open your eyes. It will set you free to what has been holding you back, to what has been keeping you stuck, keeping you from repeating all of the same patterns over and over and over again, either in relationships or work or however you're showing up. These things will set you free. I'm just thinking about a client I saw yesterday and having her, you know, she was like, I don't know where to start with this. Should we start with the relationship or my family of origin? I'm like, start telling me about how you're showing up in this new relationship. And I guarantee it'll tie back to your family of origin. And it did. All of her behaviors are tied back to how she was raised. And her anxiousness and worriedness and I'm not good enough and suppressing herself and all of that. And so now she has this new awareness of like, okay, I've learned this about myself. It sucks. I mean, you know, obviously she cried most of the session. It sucks. It sucks. I'm going through it right now with my mom. I mean, I'm learning like, oh my God, this is why I've been doing all of these fucking crazy behaviors all of these years. Even as a therapist, right? And so learning and seeing it can give you so much clarification as to why I'm controlling this or why I'm looking and seeking validation, why I'm hustling, why I'm showing up in this way so that we can do it a different way. We can show up a different way. And I talked about this a couple of episodes ago of this is why we've got to also have people in our lives that can hear us and see us. You know, I was, I don't know, kind of in a relation, I don't know, a situationship, I guess. And there's just no interest really in like getting to know the real me. And I ended it right away because I was like, this, you don't get only the good stuff. Like, this is who I am. And so that then deepens and intensifies incredible connections with your friends, with your kiddos, with your partner or your future partners. This stuff makes relationships so much deeper. It gives you so much more education as to why I am showing up this way. Why am I nervous when you don't text me back? Why am I worried, you know, because the other shoe is going to drop? Why am I walking on eggshells around people? Why am I performative? Why am I seeking this attention? I guarantee you all of it has come from your family of origin, your culture of origin. I guarantee it. Okay, I sat down with this humongous list and I was like, this is going to be really challenging. And I knew I was not going to get through it. So next week, I will dive into this new crazy world about how we got here. And, you know, maybe I will change this episode to how we got here part one, because I was, you know, I was going to try to say, like, why can't I just be happy? That's why. All of these things, we are seeking approval. We are seeking validation. That doesn't fucking matter. It doesn't matter. I am not going to heal this with my mom. I'm going to heal it with myself. She is not capable, so I have to do it on my own. That is what we try to do, right? We go outside of ourselves. We seek this validation. We seek TikTok followers. We go shopping. We oversex. We get the dopamine hit from whatever. It's not about that. It is about inside of our own bucket. This is why you can't be happy. We've got to learn a new way, my friends. Okay. I will see you next week. I love you guys. Thank you for listening. I'll see you then.